Just a few notices before I begin my sermon. For Christmas Eve, the worship will be on Zoom at 6 o'clock in the evening. Then on Christmas morning, there will be a service at 10:15 on Zoom, and also at 12 o'clock in St. Paul's Church, which will be live streamed on Zoom. We have a restriction of numbers for that of only 9 people. Those places are more or less all taken up already. If you go to our website, St. Paul's Anglican Church, Athens, you will find a login address for each of those 3 services over Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And you will also find an order of service for the Christmas Eve service and the 10:15 service on Christmas morning. This will be the last recorded sermon for 2020. I do thank all of those who have faithfully listened to these sermons over this last year and who have passed helpful comments back to me. Thank you for that, and I look forward to sending more sermons to you in 2021. But at this point, a very happy and blessed Christmas. But this is the sermon preached for St. Paul's Anglican Church in Athens on the fourth Sunday of Advent 2020. The readings are 2 Samuel 7, 1 to 11 and verse 18, and St. Luke's Gospel chapter 1, 26 to 38.
Lo, how a rose a-blooming from tender stem hath sprung, of Jesse's lineage coming, as men of old have sung. It came a flowered bride amid the cold of winter, when half spent was the night.
This is the English translation of a well-known German hymn to the Virgin Mary, whose first line is, Es ist ein Rose entsprungen. Mary is the rose that has sprung up out of the stem of Jesse, words from the prophecy of Isaiah. The second verse emphasises the purity of Mary in support of our Christian doctrine of the virgin birth, affirmed every week in our creed. The hymn is usually sung to a beautiful melody composed by the German composer Michael Praetorius in 1609. It's worth noting that Praetorius was not a Catholic, but a Lutheran, a child of Reformation Germany. In the Anglican tradition, which inherits the practices and creeds of the ancient church, but yet also the discoveries of the reforming fathers of the 15th and 16th century, the place given to Mary will vary rather depending on whether you are high, middle, or low church. Such titles are customary, but not always very helpful. Yet in the liturgy of the Church of England, Mary's place is enshrined. So it is not a matter of personal selection. And even those who least favour any place for Mary come rather unstuck if they can't accept that she figures fairly highly in Scripture, especially at this time of year, as we read a lot of St. Luke's Gospel. In the annual liturgical calendar of the Church of England, Mary features significantly. The Feast of Candlemas, the 2nd of February. The Annunciation, March the 25th. The visit of Mary to Elizabeth, May the 29th. Mary's Dormition, that is her falling asleep, on August the 15th. Her own birth, September the 8th. and the conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary on December the 8th. So as a church reformed in the backdrop of the 15th century rebellion against medieval Catholicism, Mary is still remarkably prevalent in our church's life. Other parts of Christ's universal church adopt different titles for the Blessed Virgin Mary. Some of these are attached to dogmas or authoritative teaching that are not adopted in the Anglican tradition, and then some that are just not quite fully understood by us. This is nowhere more apparent than in the Orthodox epithets or titles that honour Mary. In our current Western or Occidental perceptions, we may be tempted to think that titles such as Panagia, meaning All Holy, are not only alien to our tradition, but that they have no historic place in our tradition of worship and prayer. Well, this is not quite so. Lancelot Andrews, born in 1555 in the reign of Edward VI, had a stellar career in the church. His scholarship was steeped in the Reformation rediscovery of the scriptures in Greek and of the writings and spirituality of the Greek fathers and the occasional Greek mother. Andrews, then Dean of Westminster, took part in the Hampton Court Conference. One of the most important works of the conference was the preparation of the authorised version of the Bible. Lancelot Andrews himself was in the company that translated from the Greek the books of Genesis right through to the first book of Chronicles. In 1605, he became Bishop of Chichester, then of Ely, and in 1618, he was translated to be Bishop of Winchester, one of the five most senior bishoprics in the English Church. We still have the manuscripts of the daily prayers of Bishop Lancelot Andrews, which give us a deep insight into his prayer life, but also into the working doctrines of the Church and the popular piety that still prevailed in his time. In his daily prayers for Thursday mornings, he includes these words: commemorating the all-holy, immaculate, more than blessed Mother of God and ever Virgin Mary. Now, you don't have to be too sharp to identify here titles ascribed to Mary by other non-Reformed churches. In Greece, perhaps the most popular and everyday title for Mary is Panagia, All Holy. And indeed, both Greek males and females can carry this title as their Christian name. The boy's name gets shortened to Panos. The title Mother of God is highly significant in this list of piety because it's a translation of the Greek word Theotokos, a title that emerges after the great debates, battles, and episcopal exiles of the 4th and 5th centuries AD. It is a title that protects not Mary, but Christ. Endless synods battled over the nature of Christ himself, and to cut to the chase, our standard acceptance is that Christ has two natures, human and divine. So if Jesus is God, then logically Mary becomes the Theotokos, God-bearer, or Mother of God. You can see the logic at work. Let's stay with Mary, the All-Holy, but stick to the floral image attributed to her. We might be tempted to dismiss Mary as the rose of such perfection, but yet we'll sing it in a German hymn as a Christmas anthem. However, this title has in fact become rather mainstream in our Anglican Church in one of the hymns that we would call a standard hymn, so standard, in fact, that we sing it without thinking. The hymn to which I refer, of course, is Crown Him with Many Crowns, or, as I refer to it, the Dentist's Hymn. I'll let you think about that. Verse 2 of that hymn goes like this. Crown Him the Virgin Son, the God incarnate born, who's on those crimson trophies won, which now his brow adorn. Fruit of that mystic rose, as of that rose the stem, the root whence mercy ever flows, the babe of Bethlehem. Most of us will know this hymn, so most of us will sing in worship about this mystic rose, Mother of Jesus, who is God incarnate born. This is the last Sunday of Advent, and soon we'll be celebrating Christmas. Our Gospel today bids us to consider that unique moment in time and place and history where God works through a young Jewish woman in Nazareth in order to open the road for all humanity to return to that paradise, that Garden of Eden, from which we were exiled through our own choice. Humanity's exile from God is reversed. Out of the Garden of Innocence, out of the womb of Mary, a spotless rose, out of an empty tomb, walks the incarnate and resurrected Lord. The Lord greets each one of us, highlighted at the annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel to Blessed Mary, but yet now a timeless blessing. Greetings, favoured one. The Lord is with you. We can respond to that any way we please, and we know that plenty of people do take this message in different ways, or even reject it outright, because God will not compel us to receive his greeting and his blessing. We each have a choice. Today's Gospel narrates the response of Mary, God-bearer, who, despite being perplexed and bewildered by the greeting, grants her consent. I can just imagine the angels and archangels in heaven drawing in a deep breath and holding it until they hear Mary say the word, yes. God can then get on with things. How will God be able to get on with things with your and my consent as we move towards Christmas and a new year that we look forward to more than usual? Are the angels holding their breath to see what our response will be? Will the church blossom like that rose of all perfection?
Lo, how our rose blooming from tender stem hath sprung, of Jesse's lineage coming, as men of old have sung. It came a floweret bright amid the cold of winter, when half spent was the night.